So then, welcome to this Wednesday evening. This is the first Wednesday since Easter. Mm-hmm. It's good to see everybody. It's good for us to be together. I think about it sometimes, how we have this drive to get together. And we understand that this is something more than just meeting friends. This is the people of God. So, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Easter. Thank you that you gave your life so that we might live. Thank you that you didn't stay in the grave, but you are risen. And because you are risen, we know that there is resurrection. Mm-hmm. We have a hope. We have eternal life, we who have received you. God, we ask you that you bless this gathering today. Mm-hmm. As we think together, as we open the Bible, we ask that you speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's speak about senses. We have five senses, but I'm just going to speak about four. It's sight, hearing, taste, and smell. And Bible actually speaks about all four of them when it describes who we are in this world. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 5, there's a famous statement by Jesus in verse 13. I go there so that I can read it, because I have a tendency to mess up if I try to quote. So Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So this is taste. And you are the salt of the earth. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I know much about culture in Jewish culture in the Old Testament times or New Testament times. But salt speaks about actually much more than what we use salt for today. Salt was something that was a basic essential in a home, but it was used for more than just salt, putting salt on the food. But if somebody was invited to somebody's home and they shared food, they ate the salt, then they were friends forever. And I don't know, maybe Peter knows more. Is there some saying in Arabic about salt? Are you aware of anything? Yeah. Because in biblical times, there was something I found in the Bible, even the covenant of salt, that just meant if you had a covenant in salt with somebody, that it was a very strong friendship. It was some alliance that people honored for a very long time. You're thinking about it. Yeah? Is it familiar to you?
Yeah. When you eat with someone bread and salt, you have to be loyalty to him.
Mm. Loyalty.
Yeah.
In the salt.
Yeah.
And so we know that, and also in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, salt had to be added to every sacrifice, every offering that was presented to God. Mm-hmm. So if you try to put the pieces of this puzzle together, then it becomes much richer when the Bible says that you are the salt of the world, or the salt of the earth. So salt speaks about like a permanent loyalty, like we said. It speaks about incorruption, because salt is also something that was used to preserve food. And of course, it is good for the taste. And we visited somebody on Easter Monday, and it was interesting to speak to them. They're also Christians, and we were talking about the message of the Bible, how how good it is, and to see the people of God like the salt of the earth around us, and how important it is that we are exposed to other people. We are mixed with unbelievers because we are the salt. And as we read here in Matthew 5, it says, if salt loses its saltiness, then it's not worth having anymore. And that speaks about the message that we have, the quality that we have in our life, the divine nature that we are partakers of, according to Peter. And it's important that it would not be mixed. If salt is mixed with other things, we are not going to put it on the food, we are not going to enjoy it, right? That's what Jesus says here. If it's not salty anymore, then people will just throw it away. So we are this salt, and God's desire for us is that we would be a tasty meal for people around us. We salt their lives, and that's a great privilege. And I was thinking how maybe we don't even know what blessings we are. I don't want to be puffed up when I think about it or speak about it, but I think this is the truth, that our lives are testimonies, and people see us. Everybody who observes our lives sees those qualities that cannot be hidden. The other thing that Jesus says is that you are the light of the world, right? And the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. When you eat salty or spicy food, you sense it, you feel it. This is who we are. Tasty food, tasty people. Let's not lose that, because if we do, then what's the point, right? If I go to a restaurant, I go there and I go back again, and I go back again because I like the taste, right? If it's not tasty, if it's bland, if there's no certain taste there, then I'm not going to go back there. I'm going to find something else instead. So I'm not speaking about pleasing people, but I do believe that since the life that we have and the message that we have, and we come to that later, is something that comes from God, who is our maker, and since He is our maker, and since He is the one who is reflected in us, in our saltiness, it is attractive to people, since everybody was made by Him, and we, when we hear His words, when we see His nature, we respond to that, and people need to see that, who we are in Christ. So this was taste. And I think we all appreciate good, tasty food. And the calling is that we are this tasty food for people. We spoke about sight also, the light of the world. In the same passage, Jesus says, you are the light also. And it speaks simple picture. It's something that corresponds to the eyes. I see the light, and the light is important because by the light I see everything else also. If there's darkness, I'm insecure, I don't know where I'm going, I'm going to stumble, I'm going to fall, and so forth. Light is important, and we are the light. God's word is the light also in Psalm 119 and other places. God's word and God's people is the light. So those are taste and sight. Then in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul speaks about smell. Maybe some of you know this passage that I'm referring to. I'm going to read so that I don't mess up. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us to triumphal procession, that through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. I don't know what the knowledge of God smells like. But he says here, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. There's a certain smell. There's a flavor, there's a sight, and there's a smell also. Wherever we are, people smell the smell. And he says, to those who perish, this is a fragrance from death to death, and to the other, a fragrance from life to life. And that's just interesting. Now we come to this issue with smelling and hearing later, that not everybody likes what they see. I would say that by nature we are drawn to God because He is our Maker, and we respond to His initiation. But then there's something that can keep us from coming also. And for some people, like we read here, the smell of the knowledge of Christ is stinky. They don't like it, they don't want it, and they can't smell it, and they will turn away, because to them it represents death. It's not a good smell. And it may be so that it is just a matter of habit. I don't know. If I eat something from my childhood, like, for example, memma, not everybody likes it, right? But for those who are used to it, that's the most beautiful food and the most beautiful smell. But for others, it's not nice at all. So that's just a fact, that wherever we go, we spread a certain smell, and that's the smell of Christ. For some people, it will be a good smell, and for some people, it's a bad smell. And then we come to the last one, and that's hearing, at least in what I prepared for tonight, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is also something that you know, I guess. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 3. Oh, I mean 1 Timothy. I have to go to the right place at least. In verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. There is something for the ear also. And I think it's so interesting. A sound is not always a pleasant sound, like we were talking about these different smells, the smell of Christ. Somehow, when I think about it, I imagine that smell to be like incense, like a nice smoke. I like that smell, but maybe it's that's too much of a Catholic idea. I don't know. These people who have itching ears are not happy with what they hear, and so they want to change it. And I'm thinking, when Jesus was on the earth, he also said to the Pharisees, there's no way of pleasing you. You are like those children who say when we were playing happy music, you are not dancing, and when we play sad music, you are not crying. What's wrong with you? You want to change the tune all the time. Maybe it's not music, it's not pleasure for the ears, that's the most important sound to be heard. But there are other sounds that are very important, signals, like a horn, for example, or bells, or a child crying, or just simply a shout. And in our case, many times we, the word that comes to us, the word that came to the people of God to be said, was not something that would tickle the ear. It was maybe a rebuke. It was maybe a correction. The gospel that we have today is not something pleasant to hear for most people, maybe, because it tells us that we are sinners. It tells us that we have no way that we could reach to God on our own, that He had to come down and be humiliated, like we spoke about it before we started the recording. God became weak and actually bled and died in a very shameful event in history, so that we could be saved through that. And that's not the message that I want to hear, that I cannot bring anything, that I cannot do anything in order to win my own salvation. So there is a sound, or should we say, a message that we speak that also goes out, and it's everywhere. We spread it around us. Maybe this is one of the obvious ones when we consider ourselves. We are light, so people see. We have a certain taste, and it's a salty one, a good one. A good spicy meal that makes people go and they will know that they got it, because you can't miss it. It's so good. Then there's the smell. Thank you, Masrak. Yes. For some people, it's a sweet aroma to life, and for others, it's an ugly stench that represents death. And then there's the sound, there's the crying of the message of the gospel. And we are tempted many times to be quiet, and we think that somehow we could blend in. If I just shut my mouth, people will not know that I'm a Christian. But it seems that they because it's not only this, only one sense, right? If they don't receive it through the hearing, then they receive it through the sight, or through the taste, or through the smell. They will know who you are. They will know who we are. So I just think that it's a wonderful thing to understand. We know that when we were born from above. We have become a new creation that has nothing to do with the old. We are in this world, but we are not a part of this world. And this distinction, this difference, is not something bad. We shouldn't run from it. We shouldn't hide. But Jesus says it's impossible even to hide a city that was built on a hill. And the light is good. Saltiness is good also. A sweet smell that we have, and the sound. Maybe it's not the beautiful music that would put people to sleep in the beginning, but this is a good sound. This is a necessary one. So thank God for these things that He has given to us. And then to finish, some commentary that I read said that light and the salt speak about two things, which is like the spiritual breathing of the church. We breathe in when we gather together, and we want to concentrate the light, right? The light is in one spot, and it spreads in the darkness, but coming from one source. That's when we get together. And then the salt is dispersed, and that's like breathing out. And we can only salt food if we spread the salt evenly. That's, we mix the food even to have that effect. And there's not much salt that's needed. A little bit is enough compared to the other ingredients in the pot. So we have this thought that we need to gather. And together we will be strong, And yes, it is true. But also we need to scatter. When we have received, what we have received when we were gathered, we take with us and we spread out. And then we come back together again. And then we go out together. No, alone. And then we come back together. And this is a beautiful thing that happens in the church and in our lives. So think about it. God made our presence to be so obvious in the world around us. We have spoken or touched on four senses, and all four can convey our presence to people: sight, hearing, smell, and taste. Touch also, but I didn't find so much about that, or I wasn't really looking for that. So let's pray and finish. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. And it's fantastic to understand what you have made us in your Son. Thank you for the privilege giving us new birth, new life, that's perfect, that's holy, that longs for you, that loves the word, loves people also. Lord Jesus, you see the world that we live in, you see the challenges that we have. We would like to pray that you bless our lives as we understand that we are light, we are a certain sound, we are a good taste, and we are a good smell. Lord, we pray for each of us who are here, that you make us, well, you have made us already. Give us some people, God. People who see who we are and be your followers. Lord, there are so many who are lost. Thank you that you want to bring them to your knowledge. Do it, Lord Jesus, we ask you, in simplicity and in honesty. We pray that you bless the rest of the week. Thank you, Jesus. You are with us. You promise that you are. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.